No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote.
Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
If you ever met him, you would just, you'd really like
him. Okay, cool.
Is Charles with us? That's all right. We have a few minute introduction too. So,
okay. Say, Michael, we are having a balmy afternoon, so I've got my windows open. If you hear any ambient sound coming from the neighborhood, let me know, and I'll shut them.
Yeah, I'll type you.
All right, your guest is with us.
Okay, thanks for being on, Charles. We're going to do a brief
introduction. Thank you for having me, Senator.
And I see that you were on June of last year, so I don't know if Maria was with us, but
no.
Maria, this is
Charles
Moreland, and he's a great guy.
Hi, Maria. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the program again. Thank you.
Here we go.
Thank you again for having me. And I want to thank you guys for the great job you're doing in getting the word out on the importance of DC statehood.
We're trying. That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People the Right to Vote. Good evening and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about and affect the lives of all of us. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. Along with my co-host, Maria Sanchez, we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you. So please call in and join the conversation. You can call in at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Or you can Skype your comments to us at BBSRADIO1. Tonight, we have a special guest, Representative Charles Moreland, the first elected United States representative from the District of Columbia. He's here to talk about Mayor Muriel Bowser's new plan for DC statehood and to help us understand where we are as a movement. So please call in and be part of the discussion. First, let me welcome back my co-host, Maria, who took a well-needed break after exams to spend a few days with family and recharge. Hi, Maria. We missed you.
Michael, thank you so much. And thanks so much for being so accommodating, because I went to Northern California, where I've got siblings and cousins, right after finals. And it was just such a great break to get away and to have a change of scenery and not to have to worry about my Skype connection. Because as it turns out, we were en route between Santa Cruz and San Jose right at the appointed hour. So it would have been difficult. So thank you. I missed you too.
Well, you know what? You missed a big occasion. And I apologize for this, because I didn't realize it until 5 minutes before we went on the air. But last week, our show started 3 years ago last week.
Oh.
So this, we should have had a cake or something.
Yeah.
But I would have had to eat it all, because you're not here. But but we started 3 years ago. So today is the start of our fourth year, the first show of our fourth year. And I want to thank Don and Doug and Deborah and all the people at BBS Radio who have made this happen. And, you know, my dear old dad used to say, it's better to be lucky than good. And mm-hmm. I've been really lucky in having two amazing co-hosts in Kathleen Gomez and Maria Sanchez. So thanks, everybody, for making this happen. And without any further ado, let's introduce Charles Moreland. Charles Moreland was the first elected United States representative from the District of Columbia. He's one of my go-to guys. He's, you know, I seek advice from him all the time. And I got to tell you, I call myself the Blanche DuBois of American politics because I get along on the kindness of strangers. I'm always asking people for things, and I can never remember asking Charles Moreland for anything that he didn't say yes to. He always says yes. He always stands up for me personally and for statehood. And I thank him for that, and welcome to the show, Charles. Again,
thank you, Michael, for inviting me.
Absolutely.
So, Mr. Moreland, you were elected in 1990 to the District of Columbia for the United States Representative, and you've been battling this war ever since, if you will, about statehood?
Longer than that, actually, he's been battling. Charles, did we lose Charles? We may have lost.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello?
Now we can hear you.
Yeah,
Charles.
I was
yes.
an intern in Walter Fauntroy's office when the D.C. Voting Rights Amendment was passed. And I was then hired, and my responsibility was to travel to the various states and testify before state legislatures to get the Voting Rights Amendment ratified. The D.C. Voting Rights Amendment would have given D.C. two senators and one United States representative. We had to debate Hilda Mason and Joe Butler and Julius Hobson. They were committed at that time to statehood. Johnny Bonds and I were the ones that were detailed by Congressman Fauntroy to go out and debate them. And they called our approach the incremental approach. But we thought we were right. But on stage, debating them, even before the amendment, the proposed amendment failed, we realized that they were right, that the incremental approach was like chasing, a wild goose. And even if it had passed, it would have left us still political slaves. But the total heartlessness of those who sent us on that wild goose chase, we were just desperate for even a whiff of freedom. We were salivating at the mouth for a tiny crumb of democracy. But we were hoodwinked. And so now it's very, very difficult. I'm very careful to make sure that everybody know that we should not accept the incremental approach to freedom. You don't accept freedom in increments, and so we have to be very careful about that.
Well, let me say, first of all, for people that are out there listening, if you're not familiar with D.C. politics, Josephine Butler, Julius Hobson, and Hilda Mason were all not only brilliant people, but they were people that were very, very tenacious. And when Charles said he had to debate people like that, that's really saying something. Let me tell you, they were really the stalwarts of this movement when I guess we call it the modern statehood movement started. But anyway, and I just wanted to point that out. But we're here. One of the things we want to talk to Representative Moreland about is the new plan by the mayor for statehood. Charles and I disagree on this, and I have known Representative Moreland long enough to know that if he has problems with something, I should listen to him because he really knows more about this than just about anybody, and he's not only a brilliant guy, but he's dedicated to statehood, and I have no doubt about that. So I wanted to give him an opportunity to come on the show to talk because I think we need to consider carefully what people like this have to say. And just so people know, just briefly, let me explain that there are several ways that you can get where you want to go. There's two basic ways to get to statehood, and one is by an enabling act, which we have in Congress right now, called the New Columbia Admission Act. You hear us talk about it almost weekly. We have 130 co-sponsors, 131, co-sponsors in the House, and 19 in the Senate. And the mayor has come out advocating a different approach, which is to get a referendum on the ballot, have the referendum pass in the election in November, and then present the Congress and new Congress and new president with the results of the referendum and demand statehood directly from Congress. And Charles, what's wrong with this plan? Tell us.
Well, the first and highest duty of elected officials is to stand up for the democratic rights of the constituents.
Yes,
the biggest problem in D.C. in the past has been that there have been too many make-believe elected officials pretending at politics. And a government which cannot stand up for the rights of its citizens is no government at all. And while we applaud the mayor of energizing his movement and making it possible for us to prosecute our demand for passage of the statehood bill, and while we sincerely appreciate Chairman Mendelson and Senator Brown, your commitment to launch this nation-building campaign, many of us wonder why the same not being given to a statehood now approach. And we don't understand why D.C.'s elected officials choose not to give its full support to the bill currently before the U.S. Congress, which requires only the passage by both houses for D.C. to become a state. And we wonder why it is that there's this new approach that would require us to ratify a new constitution, to ratify to approve a referendum. We also wonder to what extent will this delay and put off the current demand for statehood now. We are ever aware that that justice delayed is freedom denied. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that this new effort would delay our demand for statehood and freedom now, we are just concerned.
Could both alternatives proceed parallel, or do you have to choose one over the other?
No, that is what we would never, I certainly would never advocate anybody to oppose any sincere effort to achieve full self-determination and statehood. Never. But I do think that we need to be careful to first do no harm. So we need to examine this process and make sure that it does not delay our demand for statehood now. And to the extent that anybody offers you a plan to free you later, it is really a plan to delay your freedom, which is unacceptable.
Well, I understand that, but the one problem I'm having with this a little bit, Charles, is that we know the new Columbia Admission Act can't pass in this Congress because it's a Republican Congress and we have a Speaker of the House that refuses to move the bill, no matter how many co-sponsors, no matter what we do. So on January 2nd of next year, we're going to have to start anew anyway. And I think, as the question you asked, Maria, they really don't necessarily, you know, they're not mutually exclusive, although some people might argue that putting so much effort into one or putting some effort into both is mm-hmm. counterproductive. You should stand behind one or the other. But, they're not counterproductive. So how does this delay us, Charles,
let me address what you just said, that okay. There's no way for this bill to pass. Senator Brown, you have done an outstanding job and you ought to be commended. We have more people supporting, more members of Congress supporting the bills in the Senate and sponsoring the bill than we ever had before.
Thank you.
And we're talking about addressing what everybody knows, even our opponents knows, to be an injustice. And for every injustice, there is justice. And for every wrong, there's a right. For every slave, there's freedom. And just as the universe bends towards justice, it is continued injustice that is impossible. And justice is not just an impossible dream, but it is inevitable, unstoppable dream that must come true. If this is not so, then the scriptures are not true. So we have to persevere. We have to be determined. I've said this many times, Senator Brown. The only thing that has been missing in our demand for freedom is a serious, determined demand from the citizens. That's all that's been missing. We have been begging and pleading in as humble a fashion as any slaves have ever begged for their freedom. But it's been begging. What we need is for the citizens of Washington, D.C. to turn out, to stand up. This is the most noble cause for freedom on the planet. And for you, Senator, to tell me that it can't win, it can't prevail, I tell you that a demand, a real clear demand for our freedom cannot be denied. Now, why would this plan delay us? Number one, this plan, as I see it, and the reason why I say let us pursue a statehood now strategy, is that this plan calls for the planning of a referendum. Now, the referendum asks us to do what we've already done. The citizens of Washington, D.C. in 1982 made it clear that statehood is our chosen way. I was involved in that. And that was after an incremental approach had failed. We had hoped that this voting rights amendment that was passed would be the key. We compromised. And what it did was it took away from the statehood movement that Julius Hobson, Josephine Butler, and Hilda Mason, it had momentum. Had we pursued statehood only at that time, I tell you, with all the civil rights organizations, with all the support that we had, we would have statehood now. But we chose an incremental approach that delayed. It robbed the statehood movement of its momentum, of its steam. And so the same thing would happen here. That energy and that effort that you're going to put in a referendum, it means that we will not get a statehood bill passed in Congress while we have a president that we know would sign it. We know, President, we will never have this opportunity again. Let us pursue this opportunity. Now, I'm not saying this to oppose anybody who's sincere about supporting our statehood. But I'm saying we need to be strategic and careful. Those of us who support statehood now, we deserve the full help and support of our elected officials who have never, ever, ever fully supported you, Senator, and the other members of the statehood delegation. You have never been paid a salary. You deserve a salary. You deserve the support of any other elected official who's been elected to get a job. Because your priority is where your money is. And if statehood, freedom, and democracy for D.C. citizens is a priority of the D.C. Council, then they ought to put money behind the statehood now movement. The other thing about this referendum, it's risky. It's confusing. What if D.C. residents don't pass the referendum? And then the statehood movement would be destroyed. The bottom line is, what if the glove doesn't fit? What if the glove doesn't fit?
That's an excellent point. I mean, we all understand that's the big liability.
Right. the citizens of D.C. have already approved statehood as our chosen means. And who would not support freedom? Is there any question that we're not like other Americans who enjoy full American citizenship as a birthright? Why should we have to start over again and tell people that we are that we are like every other American and we want to be free? We did that. We passed that. And there is no guarantee that a statehood referendum will pass, especially as this one is written, because it is confusing to me. It asks the question in, on the referendum, do we support a Republican form of government? There are a lot of folks who hate that word in D.C., Republican. It also it, they're also asking for the Constitution to be amended and ratified. If you change a Constitution, a D.C. Constitution today, it will inevitably, without a doubt, contain provisions that will be controversial, that that members of Congress would die before they support. In 1982, the citizens of Washington, D.C. ratified a constitution. That constitution right now would pass, no doubt. Not only that, and let me just say this, ratifying a constitution is what people do after you become a state. That's time to do that. So, yes, the proposal as presented would delay statehood and possibly kill it. Folks, we take that risk. If the gloves don't fit.
Well, let me first say that I do think that you're right, that it, justice is inevitable and statehood will happen for the District of Columbia. I just don't think it's going to happen in this session of Congress because of the way, you know, the makeup of Congress right now. But you say that we need to make the demand. If we walk up there with a referendum where 85% of the people of the District of Columbia have endorsed this, why isn't that a demand? Why isn't that the demand?
Because you don't have the 85%.
Well, we don't at this point, yeah. But what if we do? What if they get that kind of strong support? What if they put enough behind this to educate people? And I got one last thing I got to say is the thing that scares the hell out of me is the thing that you talked about, in it being confusing, having the several questions on the ballot, which I don't think are necessary, including the Republican, because as Maria, who's a faithful Republican, understands, in D.C., this is like, you know, the Washington football and the team and the Dallas Cowboys. Well, this is Democratic country. So a lot of people won't understand that a Republican form of government means a representative form of government.
And I think that would be a huge sense of confusion unless you did the education. But
right.
Representative Moreland, am I correct in ascertaining that what you're saying is it would just be opening up a can of worms?
Listen, it would be like double jeopardy. We have won the case. Energizing position. There are many, many folks there. There are others who are confused because there's been an ongoing campaign to confuse people. You can't understand. We're talking about control of the most powerful and important piece of state on the planet. So there are those who spend money to run campaigns of misinformation and disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this sad state of this enchantment is not a faith about which we can do nothing. Yet it is a faith that will endure as long as we do nothing about it. And I do believe that once the freedom-loving residents of Washington, D.C. are united with our supporters around the nation, united with freedom fighters around the world, stand up as a people and make a just demand for statehood, we will realize that the achievement of first-class American citizenship is within our power to achieve. It is only with that in mind that we'll be able to conquer and defeat the evil plague of taxation without representation and put an end to congressional tyranny. Ours is the most noble cause on the planet. planet, it does not have to be amended. It does not have to be ratified. It does not have to be justified. The only thing we need to do as a people and as a people and demand it, not launch some campaign for people around the nation to support freedom and democracy. They do. They support us. We just need to believe in ourselves. And I lobbied on Capitol Hill. I've been around the country. I've testified before state legislatures. I convinced Martin Downey Jr., the first shock jock, conservative shock jock, on national radio to support statehood. And he was adamantly opposed to statehood, sponsored by the American Legislative Exchange Commission. But once we presented our case live on radio, he said, I cannot oppose this. I've never heard it stated like this by a citizen of Washington, D.C. We just have to believe. We don't need to justify, and we don't need to go back and tell people again that we believe in freedom. It's a noble cause. We need to believe in it and support it. I'm not saying oppose anybody, because I believe the mayor and the council members and you, Senator, but I know you're sincere about statehood. But I think we just got to believe, and the only missing ingredient, and members of Congress used to tell me all the time, the problem up here is, where are the people?
Where we
the
have
people?
A caller.
Why are you not out in the, why are you yeah, not in might... the streets like the citizens of Egypt? Why are you not in the streets demanding your freedom? Why are you sitting back acquiescing to something that no other American would accept? This so-called home rule is nothing but home food. It's a system of slavery, political slavery, that the founding fathers of this nation took up on. If you tried to take this system of government that we have and put it anywhere in the world, they would take up guns and shoot you dead. Yet we accept it. And now you're saying, accept it? For how long? How long would this delay us? You say, what if they do pass it? What if they don't?
What if well, that's a big pay? That's a big if. And
probably
we have a niece. We have a niece online, too. I'm sorry, Charles. We have a niece on Charles, too, online, too.
Welcome.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. As you know, you might not know, Stand Up for Democracy, I'm a founding member, executive director, has been fighting this since 1997. We're getting ready to celebrate, observe, commemorate our 20th anniversary next year in 2017. I want to first of all thank Charles Moreland. I want to thank you, Senator Brown, and thank your co-host for talking about this. Is so extremely important. And I'm going to tell you, you're having meetings once a week. As you're aware, all the statehood groups are having meetings talking about it. This has become totally consuming as to what we are going to do with this succession. I know, as Senator, as Representative Moreland said, the mayor is sincere. I really believe she's sincere. She got arrested with us. I was in the same cell with her when Mayor Gray was arrested for statehood, or maybe it was budget autonomy, but we said it was statehood. But I just have a few questions to throw out there to you. It has been said, this is the reason that has been given to us that this is being introduced, although it has been done and concluded before as the initiative for statehood, that the statehood movement needs a boost. They have said that the people in D.C. are so many new people, and they don't understand it, or they're not thinking about it, or they're not behind it, whatever. But it's being said that this is the boost that's going to energize the statehood movement. Now, I'd like your take on that. Is that what will – do you have alternatives that are not as risky, that are not going to make us rewrite a constitution or do that, just not have to present this total package? Do you have a way that we can ignite the statehood movement? And I have to tell you, I think it's It's not dead. It's definitely not dead. We have 131 co-sponsors on the Hill. People are talking about it. I remember when people, you said Stater, people looked at you like you were crazy. That is not the case anymore. So I would just like you to throw out these alternatives that you might come up with that will re-energize or make it even more energized.
Well, I have a few, but first let me ask Charles to answer that question, because I think it's important to hear what he has to say.
Like the power of the peaceful civil rights protests led by Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and even more recently, the uprisings in Libya and Egypt, when there was no thought, no possibility that Gaddafi could be overthrown. I remind you both, everybody, that the power ultimately belongs to the people. All we got to do is rise up. Mighty citizens of Washington, D.C., rise up. You know, we need to believe in ourselves and be serious. I tell you, give this movement 1,000 committed people. Rise up. The citizens of Washington, D.C. need to rise up and say that democracy matters. We want it now.
Is that dependent on us going out, holding town hall meetings, going into the communities, getting the ANCs to do an education campaign to show why it's so unjust?
Let me tell you what I would do. I would put together a plan like my mentor, the late Marion Barry, once said, "He who fails to plan, plans to fail." And we need to put together a plan similar to an election campaign, where we put together committees and squads of people who support statehood now in every ward. We identify a campaign manager. We fully fund the D.C. statehood delegation that has never been funded. I know how damaging that is to the movement. When I was first elected, I thought that the mayor and the council members would certainly give us an office, give us the funds that we would need to do our job. But the statehood movement never been funded. The Tennessee plan that they're talking about now, injecting life, the Tennessee plan has never been funded. And no state that has ever gotten statehood has come back and had a referendum two times. That's going backwards, isn't it? But like I say, I'm not opposing any sincere debate. I commend them. The mayor, you've already what you said you wanted to do. You have revitalized interest in this. We believe in our mayor. I believe our mayor is sincere. And for her to get Chairman Mendelson and members of the council to now stand up and say they support statehood, to get individuals who have been committed, confused, and supporting the incremental approach, you have already accomplished a mighty achievement. Let's continue on that path. The alternative is energize the movement now. You don't need to go backwards and have a campaign to convince members of Congress that we support freedom and democracy. They're wondering why there's no doubt. Who would not support full first-class American citizenship? Who would not support an end to taxation? We don't have to say that again. And I think that's going, I think we need to move, energize both. If you believe that that this other way would energize the statehood movement, then do that. But make sure it does no harm to the statehood now movement is all I say. As elected officials, you have a duty. Your only duty as an elected official is to stand up and do all that you can to achieve democracy for the citizens that you represent. Anything else, and you're pretending at politics. You've been a make-believe politician. But I know also there's something about being an overseer on this political plantation that has given many of our elected officials in the past pause, given them grounds to hesitate.
And I guess it's consistent with what happens to people who disenfranchise. But we can't buy into that now. Now is the time that will we ever have another Obama in the White House? We may end up with somebody. And if you think situations are bad now with a Republican Congress, what if you have a Republican Congress, both houses, and a Republican president who would never support standards like Ted Cruz? So why can we take that risk?
Well, you know what?
Again,
I would
what
agree
if the glove
with...
don't fit?
I would agree with much of what Charles is saying. If we could put money behind the existing movement, I think that would be great. But they're not willing to do that, as Charles points out, and they are willing to fund this. And I agree with you, Charles. I think our responsibility as elected officials and also as activists is to make sure that they do no harm. We have Theodora on line three. Are you there?
Yes, Theodora. I'm here.
Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Senator Brown. How are you today? And
I'm good.
Miss Maria.
Thank you,
Representative
Theodora.
Moreland.
Thank you for calling.
Absolutely. I work with Representative Garcia's legislative council. I'm also a second-generation Washingtonian, so this issue is near and dear to my heart for sure. And so we've been working, I've been working with Representative Garcia for the past, ever since he was sworn in last January 15th, 2015. And so I know what we've been doing in terms of raising the awareness of statehood for the residents of the District of Columbia. And I also attended the commission meeting 2 weeks ago, last week actually, where the mayor revealed this plan. And there are aspects of the plan that I think are necessary and long overdue, but there still is some confusion about the referendum process and also the constitutional convention process, which I think may sort of disrupt the whole process because there's this rush, there's this accelerated process to get those two things done before November. And so it sounds like, we're all on the same page, but the two things that seem to be giving most people pause is the referendum and the Constitutional Convention. So how do we as a group approach the mayor to say, we support you, but, and do you think that there is going to be an ear, and willing ear, and even sort of re-strategizing, or the mayor would be willing to re-strategize, because they form committees, and they're calling folk in the community, asking them to join this committee so that they can move full steam ahead with their plan.
Well, I'm not sure how to answer the part of the question, Theodora. And by the way, Theodora is a great help. We all work together in a delegation, and I know that Representative Garcia considers her very valuable in what he's doing, and he's doing a great job. But I'm not sure how to answer the second part of that question, will there be a willing ear? But since both you and Representative Moreland are attorneys and you bring up this question about the referendum and the Constitution, I think we have to look at it very seriously. And I think that one thing we have to do is through the working groups, make sure that we inject ourselves enough in the process to mitigate some of the damage that might come from this. But let's let Representative Moreland give his opinion.
Let me ask you, Senator Brown and Theodora, did Martin Luther King and the civil rights leaders ask for somebody to come and fund the effort? Did the citizens of Egypt and South Africa, did Nelson Mandela ask if somebody come and fund my movement? Statehood effort has been pushed aside for less drastic solutions as long as I've been around. And those who would accommodate tyranny would say for achievable goals. So let's push your ass. Let's push aside our statehood now demand for achievable goals. But our liberation movement, our demand for freedom, is still alive and it will never die. DC State Hood Movement is not just alive, it is thriving. And now, thanks to Mayor Bowers, again, I can't commend her enough. Because of her interest and her commitment, statehood is now thriving in the hearts of citizens and gathering strength daily. We've been meeting. I'm back involved now. And I said, Senator, you and Anise, and you all know I get called a couple times every year when there's this, and I always say the same thing. When you get serious, let me know. I believe Mayor Biles is serious. Now, we have to provide the leadership. She needs the leadership. She's got advisors, Senator, Anise, Theodora, you all. What do? Stay your course. Stay on your ground. Advise her that there's life in the statehood now movement, that we can achieve our freedom. Now, where is this doubt, fear, and disbelief coming from?
Well, if I may interject from the West Coast, it's easier now than ever before to get people together with social media, right, which there isn't a price tag associated with that. So you can have more of a grassroots, organic movement added on to what you've already got with this infrastructure that's decades old.
Exactly.
Yes, we're trying to do that.
This is the time for us to rise up and statehood now, freedom now. Understand. Freedom delayed is freedom denied. Freedom in increments is no freedom at all.
Well, we've got Barbara Patterson on line five. Let's see what Barbara, and we've got other callers as well, but let's see what Barbara has to say. Barbara, are you there? Ms. Patterson, are you there? Barbara?
Sounds like she's listening.
Ms. Patterson,
maybe put her back on hold.
Your computer. Yeah, let's go to Taboo on line four. Quick, Taboo, do you have a comment?
Well, yeah, I do. One day, first comment and a question. The first comment I would say, first let me thank all of you for great work. Struggle continues. What about the Democratic Party? We've had Democratic presidents in both houses, the House and the Senate, and we still haven't gotten it. We have a constitutional right to partake in government, you know, and as the Civil Rights Movement, they challenged the law. The law is wrong. So the people have spoken, as you all have eloquently said. So let's take the next step. The people who are not allowing our constitutional rights to go forth, I think we need to challenge them in court.
Well, you know, we've done that, Taboo. We've taken to court many times. As you know, Clinton was the last one. I forget the name.
I think he's talking about challenging these people who are asking us to have another referendum. We had a referendum. I think that's, Taboo, is that what you're saying?
No.
That's a great idea. No.
Congress is our problem.
Yes.
Am I correct? The people that voted for this.
Yes.
Is it not Congress that's blocking us?
Let me hear what the courts will say, Tabo. The courts will say what they've said all along. It is a political question. And it is. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution. Okay, gives the Congress exclusive control and jurisdiction over the District of Columbia. So the only our only solution, because the Congress does have the right now to grant to simply pass a state of business and then become a state. That is the way states become states, and that's been the way since Tennessee was admitted into this. So that is the only solution. We fought this battle. Julius Hobson, okay, Joe Button, they all this fight is concluded. The only way is statehood, a statehood bill being passed in Congress.
May I say this?
Well, I'm a retired, but I understand when you say why and what is the law, every time it has been challenged. to the South. Even, I even challenged, you know, the right of Congress to collect over, at that time, $2 billion a year from D.C. residents in taxes. But the courts said then, as they said, and every time we challenged it legally, so we're beyond it. Now we're talking about a political challenge because the people have, we're not people power. We're talking about real serious demand. We're not talking about reinventing the wheel. We're talking about demanding serious, letting the Congress and the world know we will not accept anything less than freedom. And one
may I ask one question?
Quick, one question. Go.
If we have a constitutional right and Congress passes a law that says we don't have a constitutional right, then Congress cannot pass a law that's unconstitutional. When they say we have no right to participate, that's a bad law. A bad law is no law at all.
I know, but that's not what they did, Taboo. They didn't pass a law. The Constitution gives them the right. And unfortunately, it's the ultimate catch-22, because even though the 14th Amendment guarantees you equal protection, you cannot have something declared unconstitutional that's actually in the Constitution. It's in the Constitution.
No, this is my point.
So that's our problem.
Constitution, Judge Taney ruled that there was no law. Well, you know he ruled in. Okay. Congress
tried to amend.
You cannot put a law in the Constitution that goes against the founding principles. We have a right to liberty.
We tried the constitutional amendment process. We tried. We've tried everything demanding statehood.
Right.
The people.
No.
We tried the constitutional amendment process. I was there and part of it. It failed because a constitutional amendment has to be ratified by 3/4 of the states. And as Senator Brown said, as long as it is in the Constitution is the law of the land.
Yeah.
So changing the Constitution won't do. We tried that.
Is the Constitution in any way contradictory? Does the Constitution in any way contradict itself? If so,
it
then the part that
is the law.
No. If a Constitution has a part in it that contradicts the founding principles, it has to be changed.
Well, I mean, you're welcome to make that argument, Taboo, but I'll tell you, when we tried to challenge, we challenged it on the basis of taxation without representation being a violation of one of the basic principles of democracy. And the guy that wrote the majority opinion for the Supreme Court, Justice Marshall, one of the most famous justices of all time, said that taxation without representation is not a principle of government. It's a slogan, and that the Constitution gives the right of Congress to do whatever it wants in the District of Columbia, and that's that. And that's just
no
taxation without representation.
Even though the law says it.
Taboo. Taxation with no taxation without representation was such a fundamentally accepted principle that the founding fathers never thought it was necessary to put it. They thought they never had to put it in the Constitution because they never thought that anybody, they took up arms, they fought and died for this fundamental principle. It was so fundamental and basic to any concept of democracy that they did not put that in the Constitution. There's nothing in the Constitution that says no taxation without representation because practically they gave every state representation. Now, what they didn't realize, and they didn't intend for the citizens of Washington, D.C. to be disenfranchised by the establishment of something that wasn't a state.
What the founders wanted. See, this is exactly what the founders did not want. The founders wanted a Republican form of government that guaranteed all of the citizens to be able to participate, not just some of them.
No. Citizens of the states. The citizens of territories and possessions were not granted full citizenship. And the problem here is that anything that is not a state is inferior to the states. And that's why
you got to go back and look at the founding, when the first Constitution, you have the authority. When you come up with a 1789 Constitution, then you lose it. That is repugnant. that George Mason refused to sign the Constitution because he saw what was happening.
Well, that's true.
Again, Tom, I don't think we need to. We don't want to. We can't refight that. Now, that is the Constitution.
Right.
The Constitution is the law. And like I said, it was such a basic, fundamental principle. And the founding fathers, they gave the states and citizens of the states all of the rights. So that's why statehood is the only solution, because the District of Columbia is not a state; it is a territory, and anything that is not a state is inferior to the states.
Well, thank
territories
you, Taboo,
are
for that.
Districts are inferior.
Barbara is back on the line. Let's see if we can get Barbara on before we lose her again. She was on earlier, but we lost her. Barbara, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Do you have a comment or a question?
This is a great show. Yes, 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 I do. I like Miss Theodora is a second-generation Washingtonian. And one of the things that I would like to see that I think is missing from the groundswell of citizenry that Mr. Moreland talked about is engaging the schools from elementary through high schools, incorporating that push for statehood into their curriculum somehow. You know, having a day of lobbying where the older students could periodically, every 2 weeks or once a month throughout the city, you know, different schools throughout the wards visit Capitol Hill. And then also, I've done most of my work with the D.C. Statehood Green Party, and yes, we are lax in our push and our outreach, but I think that this city overrun with, well, I shouldn't say overrun, but with so many Democrats, the Democratic leadership does not seem to be, or maybe with the exception of Muriel Bowser now, committed to statehood and actually engaging. They've been committed. I can't speak to their commitment, but committed to actually engaging the citizens to fight for this struggle.
Well, Barbara,
absolutely
you're
right
on both counts.
Absolutely
and
right.
First, let me say that we've put together a new website called teachdemocracy.net. which attempts to do exactly what you're talking about. It attempts to take all the principles of civics that are supposed to be taught to high school students and connect them to the struggle for DC statehood. So I encourage you to go look at the website. We're doing that exactly right now, trying to get more involved, not only in the schools in DC, where we should do exactly what you said, we should bring the kids out to lobby and do other activities, but also students across the country. And as a long-term elected Democrat, I also have to say, although it's hard for me to say, that you're very right about the Democratic Party. I had to put up 2 billboards at my own expense in Charlotte for the last convention, because the Democrats took statehood out of their official party platform for the first time in a long time. We couldn't get them to put it back in. So we put up 2 gigantic billboards that cost me $30,000 in order to make sure that Democratic elected officials understood our position. So you're right. Democrats could do a lot more than they're doing.
But here's my question again.
This is a good year for it. During this election process with the Democratic convention in Philadelphia, this is an opportunity that we cannot miss.
But is there a game plan? I don't hear a game plan. I just hear lots of passion. But
we're putting the game
plan together
now.
One step in front
now.
Of another, and where are we going to go to that next chapter and the next chapter so you can finally close the book?
Yeah, we are putting
together
a game plan.
We've had several meetings, and we're having meetings now thanks to the enthusiasm that Mayor Bowser has injected into this debate. In fact, I've had recent meetings. We've met Anise, Theodora, and Laucal. There's interest in statehood now that I have not seen in years. And all we have to do is build on that momentum. We don't need to turn back and subject ourselves to a risky double jeopardy. Can you imagine if, with all the doubt right now about our civil rights, can you imagine if somebody, if we decided, okay, to prove that we really deserve our freedom, we would go and have the 13th and 14th Amendments considered again? It's illogical to me.
Well, like I said,
I'm not going to oppose it, but I just think we ought to, we can supersede it and eclipse any other movement by a just demand for freedom, a demand made by the people. And like the caller said, an education program. Can you imagine what this movement would look like if every member of the council, if the mayor and all the ANCs and all the elected officials really decided to band together and put together a comprehensive plan to accept Absolutely. Nothing but freedom? That's what's Absolutely. Missing.
Well, that is what's
missing. Senator Brown, you know I've said this. I'm just it's not the first time I've said this for years. We need a serious, just demand from the people who have the power. The power belongs to the people. Let us stand up and demand our rights. That's what's been missing. Members of Congress have told me this over and over. Why are y'all accepting this? The unacceptable. We accept the unacceptable like it's nothing. And now somebody comes and says, okay, we can wait until next year. That's a plan to keep us enslaved.
Well, you know what? The education component is really important to this because, as you pointed out earlier, Dr. King didn't ask anybody go around asking the government for money to fund his effort. But he also didn't have to explain to African Americans about the pain of segregation, about the pain of second-class citizenship, about the pain. Unfortunately, in Washington, we have to educate people because they don't feel it the same way. They don't see the $2 billion.
I hate to tell you, Senator, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I was in Georgia at the time. Let me tell you something. There were people who opposed Martin Luther King. There were people who were ready to capitulate. Die. Oh, we don't want to challenge these people. Oh, yeah. And the other thing is,
I'm sure.
You know, the opposition they had dogs. They had people who were hanging. So we don't, listen, ours is the most just cause for freedom that there ever was. And yet we're afraid.
Well,
we
I do think it's ignorance more than
They're
fear.
They're not picking dogs on us. All we have to do is stand up and say, hey, we want it. We don't have to worry about dogs.
Right.
Right.
Why is it maybe your separate efforts need to be more collective, because you've obviously got avenues that are pursuing the same end, and maybe everybody needs to be more collaborative?
Well, as
collaborative,
you probably understand.
For statehood now, for freedom now.
Which I'm sure you understand.
I'm not going to support any movement that says statehood later. And the first thing we need to do is make sure that this won't delay or possibly even kill the demand for statehood. Because if this referendum, which is confusing, and believe me, there are people out there who oppose statehood, who would, and that's in D.C., because they've been confused, they've been duped, they've been hoodwinked. They believe that we can't support ourselves. So there's opposition out there that has also been awakened by this call. So it's a risky proposition. Again,
well, I agree.
If it don't fit,
that's the one big liability, and we can't pass it 60-40. We can't pass it 64-44. We have to pass it by better than 65% margin, because that's what the marijuana referendum passed by. And if we pass it by 64%, the haters out there that Charles just mentioned will stand up and say the people of the District of Columbia care more about pot than they care about freedom.
We can't let that happen.
What will our sponsors in Congress say? If we tell them, oh, we're going to put the referendum back, what will they say? These are people who have decided, they are sponsors. What will they say? If we now come and say, well, we got, they're going to feel betrayed. They're going to say, there's doubt even in D.C.
Right. Well, we can't let
that happen. Am I right or wrong?
But to answer your question, Maria, of why we haven't all been moving in the same direction, it's because we're all Democrats here. You probably don't understand that as a Republican, but, you know, it was Will Rogers that said, I belong to no organized political movement. I'm a Democrat. And that's really our Achilles heel, right? Is that we have a hard time sometimes going along and getting along with each other to get things done. But you know what? Believe it or not, it's 8 o'clock and we've run out of time here. So we're going to have Representative Moreland back as this thing progresses.
Yes, absolutely. And it's
fascinating. Thank you so much, Senator, for all you have done. Stay the course, my brother.
Thank you for all you've done. And thank you for taking the time to be with us this evening.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you to Barbara, and thank you to Taboo, and thank you to Anise, and thank you for the people that listen every week and call into the show.
And Theodora.
I'm sorry. How could I forget Theodora?
Yeah.
And Theodora Brown, who's a real asset to the movement. Thanks, Maria.
You're welcome. I hope everyone has a great week. Thanks for listening.
Next week.
Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.